And we're so glad you're here. I want to read you a few scriptures, and I'm going to let you sit down, then I'm going to go to work. Galatians 6:17 says, "From henceforth, let no man trouble me." Boy, I like that verse. "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." Lord Jesus. Job 14:1, "Man that is born of a woman," that's the only way you can be born. Leave it alone. "Is a few days and full of trouble." You can be seated. How many people in here have a scar on your body somewhere? Scars. It's a great day. Look around. Is anybody in here scar-free? Not one person in here is scar-free. If you live long enough in this world, you're going to be wounded. Let me say that again. If you live long enough in this world, you are going to be wounded. You are going to be bruised. You're going to get hurt. Amen. You know what? I noticed something the other day. I have a scar on my hand, several scars on my hand. I work with my hands. I beat them up. Usually my scars are on my left hand because my left hand is about useless. And my right hand does all the work, and it's the one that inflicts pain on my left hand. And I was at work the other day, and believe it or not, Dustin, I got dirty. And I looked down at my scar, and my scar didn't have any dirt on it. The rest of my hand was dirty, but not my scar. And I looked this up. I said, "Is this a real thing?" And I found out that scars do not receive dirt like unscarred positions in your body. Amen. That'll preach. We'll get there. We'll get there. The longer you're on this planet, the more likely you are to be hurt. Time plays a big part in wounds. But time is also said to be, time heals all wounds. That's debatable. Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy said, "It has been said time heals all wounds." I do not agree. The wounds remain. In time, the mind, protecting its sanity, covers them up with scar tissue, and the pain lessens, but it is never gone. Can anybody say amen to that? One writer said, "Time does heal wounds, but not scars, never scars." There are times that I have cut myself or hurt myself that it didn't scar, and I don't remember those cuts. But every time I look at this finger, I see a scar, and it reminds me of the day that it was Memorial Day. We were building a porch, me, Tracy, and the kids. And I had a handsaw, and I was cutting a post, and it jumped out of the post and went right across my finger. And I remember that because I have a scar to remind me of that. This sermon was birthed out of a text message with my wife the other day. Darren, I text her, and I said, "Hey, stop by and pick me up a utility knife. One you can change the blades in." You know, I told her cobalt, tried to explain everything, the kind I wanted. And she texts back, "Do you have the blades?" I said, "Yes, I have the blades." She said, "I will get it if you promise not to cut yourself with it." We'll get back to that in just a minute. Wounds heal, but some truly do scar. There's physical scars. There are scars that we have been wounded by others. There are scars where we have wounded ourselves. There are physical scars in our body. Some of them are self-inflicted, as myself. Some other people near us have hurt us and caused us to scar. And the ones that we remember are the ones that are deep enough that they leave a scar. It's those minor scrapes that we forget about, but there are some wounds that are so deep they leave a scar. It's not just in our physical, but it's in our emotional as well. Some of us have been emotionally scarred. Some of us had somebody around us that has hurt us so bad that we have a scar in a place. It could be a broken relationship. It could be a parent that didn't do what you thought they should do. It could be a spouse. It could be a sister. It could be a brother. It could be yourself. Sometimes we do things to hurt ourselves and we get emotionally scarred. And these are the hardest ones to figure out, because you can see the scar on my hand, but I get real good at hiding the ones that are in my emotions. I don't want you to know that I've been beat up or I've been hurt. I try to hide those scars. Can you say amen? We don't want everybody in here to know what we're thinking or what we've been through, so we hide some of those scars. Well, I want to preach to you something today. There's a God that sees every one of your scars, every physical scar, every emotional scar. And let me tell you, the ones that are really tough are the spiritual scars. When you get hurt or you get wounded in the spirit, those become the most difficult, because Darren, the only way that the spirit moves in us is if we truly open up and allow him to move. There has been times after so long of preaching that I've been wounded in my spirit, and when you're wounded in your spirit, it gets really tough to deal with. Can somebody say amen? I've heard this statement before: church hurt is the worst hurt. And when you get hurt in church, when you open up and you try to move in the spirit, and then there's this pain that is inflicted on you by someone in your spirit, it is really hard to get rid of. Sometimes I've been told by people that you'll never win them. They were hurt in church and they won't come back. And this is the thought that I had when I told Tracy to pick up that knife. I have wounded myself with that knife before, or a knife simmer. I was at Raleigh General Hospital one day. I was cutting a transition, and it was a rubber piece of transition. And as I cut down, the knife went through the transition so fast, it went all the way into my thigh. And I went, this is not good. My leg went numb. I checked this morning. There's a scar there. And I got up and I said, I gotta go. And they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home so Tracy can patch this up. They said, people come in here with wounds like that. I said, I don't have insurance and can't afford this place. She's going to have to glue me back together. So I left the hospital with a wound. And sometimes people leave the very place that is designed to help them because they have been scarred in other areas and think they don't belong, nor can they afford it. That knife hurt me. I am still numb in that spot today. Still today, there is numbness in that spot. That knife hurt me, but there are still jobs that I have to do, and I need that knife. Let me say it like this. There are people that have been hurt in church, but I want to tell you something. It's going to take the same utensil to get you where you need to go. It's the same thing that hurts you. It's the same thing God's going to use to get progress in your life. I know you may have been wounded, but God has designed the church to march us to a place that he wants to get us to. I know you've been angry. I know you've been hurt, but God's going to take the very same thing that hurt you and put it in your hand again. Let me tell you about the power of the church. God designed the church to get us to a place of power. It's sharp and it may scar. Here's the problem with scars. When we try to hide scars, it doesn't do us any good. We try to hide our emotional scars, God sees it. When we try to hide our spiritual damage, God sees it. And I want to preach to you something today. I want to preach you something that'll liberate you, that'll set you free. Even though you've been scarred, God can still use you. The devil tries to use that and let you know
that you're not worthy anymore because you've been hurt before, because you've been down before, because you've given up before. The devil's trying to use that. And there are some people in this room that God wants to use again, despite what the devil said. I know it hurt, but it's time to get that healed, get the scar, move on, and do what God has designed you to do. He didn't call you to sit on a pew. He didn't call you to be a bench warmer. He didn't call you to come and sit and listen. He called you to be a light in the world of darkness. That's what he called you to do. I'd like to preach to you that if you submit your life to Jesus, it's cookies and rainbows. That everything gets better. But Brother Eddie, I'd be preaching a lie. I'd like to preach to you that you come to this altar and you give your life to Jesus, and if you're poor, you'll be rich. And if you're sick, you'll be healthy. And if you drive an old beat-up car, you'll get a Ferrari. I'd like to preach that to you. But that's not true. The truth is, when you come to Jesus, you're going to carry some scar tissue with you. And that pain don't necessarily ever leave. There are some things that I carry now that I've been carrying before I got saved, and now I'm saved, I'm still carrying it. The difference is I didn't have any help carrying it before I got saved. Now I got the one who can carry it all. The Bible says the government will be upon his shoulders. If anybody can carry it, Jesus can. The difference is this: I'm not carrying my scars alone. I've got somebody that's carrying them with me. The devil's a liar. Let me tell you what he tells you. Oh, you slipped up. You messed up. And now you're scarred. And now that you're scarred material, now that you're marked, now that you're in that place, God can't use you. That lie is a lie of the devil. Because God takes people who are broken, and he restores them back to a place where he can use them. Can you say amen? I know what it is to be in a place of brokenness. I know what it is to be in a place where you don't deem yourself worthy. Let me tell you what the worst place in the world to be is: when you self-inflict the wound on yourself. Nobody hurt me. I did it. And then there's this scar of shame. And shame is one of the most difficult things to overtake and overcome. Amen. But when I read this Bible, I see a God that dealt with shame on a cross. How do I know you can make it and you're still going to carry scars? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that quickens my mortal body. Timmy, there's been some things that the devil has tried to take me down with, but I'm still here. There's been some things that the devil has tried to deflect me with, but I'm still here. There's some things that the devil has tried to wound me with, set me down with, shut me up with, but I want to serve notice on the devil. Yes, I'm scarred, but I'm still here. I'm going to let him know, yes, I've been hurt, but I'm still here. I've had people talk about me. I'm still here. I've had people lie on me. I'm still here. Had people tell the truth on me and didn't want people to know, but I'm still here. There's a God that will bring you through not just the fire, but he'll bring you through the water, and everything you face, he'll bring you through. I felt like quitting. I said, I'm done. I'm done. I quit. You know what? Here's what I'll do. Honey, we'll go find us a little country church somewhere. Pat the preacher on the back every Sunday. Give our offering and tithing there. Good job, preacher. And go home and not worry about it. Matter of fact, that's sounding really tempting. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to worry about it. And we won't go on Wednesdays because I work late. Won't have to leave early. Won't even have to worry about it. Man, this is going to be nice. Nobody will hurt my feelings anymore. I won't have to check on you and wonder where you're at and pray about you. That'll be his job. And I'll say, I'm praying for you, pal. The problem with that is this. God never called me to do that. Let me say this again. God never called me to do that. And if you get in a place that you think is going to be comfortable and it's outside of the will of God, you are in trouble. I'm telling you, I'd rather be in a war zone in the middle of fire and hell and be in the will of God than be in a mansion of comfort and be out of the will of God. I'm telling you, there's going to be some issues that arise, but the army of God doesn't sit down. It doesn't shut up. It doesn't back up. I may be wounded, but I'm still moving forward. Why? How many people are excited about your glorified body? If you don't know what your glorified body is, they've been singing about it since I was a kid. When you get that glorified body, there's no pain, no tears. Listen to them, amen. All you young people don't understand. They'll get it. I used to think it too. It's just some old guy telling me not to do this. You jump off a loader and they say, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It'll mess your knees up. And you're young. You don't care. Whoop. Now I look at people and I say, don't do that. Don't do that. You shouldn't do that. But time has a way. Time has a way of wearing you down. Some of you people over 45 say amen. When does it change? What age does it change? 30? What is it? You start to biologically decline at 30. You there? It's coming, big boy. Get ready. Stuff's going to ache that didn't ache before. You're going to get up in the morning and you're just going to try to find your bearings. Stuff's going to hurt. I got pneumonia for the first time in my life a couple weeks ago. I turned 49. I know I don't look it. But anyway, I turned 49. And I got pneumonia. I said, next year, arthritis. What do you do? What do you do when it hurts? Oh, they sing about this glorified body that's coming. No pain in that body. No tears in that city. None of that. Just want to get this glorified body. But I noticed something about the glorified body of Jesus. I noticed when Jesus arose from the dead, after he took that beating, after he took all of that, he carried something from before he got his glorified body. And what he brought with him from one side to the other was the scars. Now, I know God could have erased them. I know he could have got rid of them. I know he could have just made the body where it didn't have any scars. But he came to the other side and he still had the scars. Why would he carry those scars? To let somebody in this room know, I don't care what you go through, you can still move forward with the scars. I know it hurts, but I know you can still move forward. If he can do it, I can do it, because I got the same Spirit. He carried his scars with him. Think about this. Thomas wouldn't believe. Thomas said, I'm not believing this. Jesus walks in, and let me tell you what was proof to Thomas. He said, Thomas, take your hand, put it in my side. Go ahead, Thomas, touch the scars. It was the scars that made Thomas say, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. There's this theory about the resurrection. I know this is not Easter, but I'm going to give this to you. There's a theory of the resurrection that Jesus really didn't die on the cross, that he just swooned and entered into a place of near death. And then when they put him in the tomb, the coolness of the tomb revived him and brought him back. And it's called the swoon theory. This is a real theory that somebody came up with to try to disprove the resurrection. We were talking about it one time, and I said, think about this. The guy hung on a cross. He wore a crown of thorns. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was pierced in his side. And they took him off the cross, and he was swooned, and he got up after all of that and rolled a stone away and walked 30 miles into Galilee. If he didn't die, he's still my hero. That is one bad hombre right there. I still want posters of him on my wall. But let me serve notice to that lying devil. He did die, and he got up, and he had the scars to prove it. How do I know? Because he lives in me right now, and I've got that same spirit. It's the same spirit. I can't quit. His spirit's in me. You think you're going to hurt my feelings again? Yes, you will. Do you think that's going to stop me? No, it will not. You think you're going to, what happened? They said they'd be here and they didn't come. I got this sermon ready and they did something else. They slept in. Listen, people, I could get it. You sleeping on a church if it started at 4:30 a.m. Come on, man. We don't start church till 11:30. Who sleeps in till 11:30? How do you even do that? My body, my scarred body will not even let me do that. If I did that, I couldn't walk. How do you do that? But how do you do it? When it's your morning to worship the one that died for you, how do you do that? How do you just roll over and say, my flesh is more important than my worship? There's got to be a spirit change that says, even though hell may assail me, I won't be moved. I got something in me. Oh, man. I bear in my body the marks. You got my definition, Shane? Watch this. Marks is where we get our word. This is the Greek word stigma. I got the marks of the Lord Jesus in my body. Can y'all read that? You people that move well, I know you can't see people pulling glasses off their head. They're over 50. Read this. To ancient Oriental usage, slaves and soldiers bore the name or the stamp of their master or commander, branded, pricked, cut into their bodies to indicate what master or general they belonged to. There were even some devotees who stamped themselves in this way with a token to their gods. Dustin, it was a mark. And the truth is, there are people in this world that are marked. Drug addicts are marked. You can mark some of them by their behavior. Some of them literally have marks up their arm. You can mark them by their conversation. You can sit down and figure out there's something going on because there are markers that show you who they belong to, who they have yielded themselves to. My question is this. Do we have enough marks in us that people can look down and say, I know who they belong to? They have some tendencies. They have some things about them. There's some marks in their body. I know they're a believer. I can tell. It's more deeper than just the way you conduct yourself. There's something inside of you that they recognize. Because the truth is, the whole world is looking for what you have. Do you got enough to convince them if you were indicted for being a Christian? Is there enough marks? that you would be found guilty. Well, I let Jesus have a little bit of my life. I let him have this compartment. But not all of me. The problem is, if you don't let him have all of you, you're in trouble. Because let me tell you something about this God we serve. He don't deserve 99%. He deserves 100% of you. You know what I've learned? Tim, if a man won't work for $5 an hour, he won't work for $30. I've seen it. I've seen guys lay down. Tell you what, if I get a raise, let me tell you something about getting a raise. If you don't have no work ethic in you, that raise may get you up for about a month. Come on, Dustin, you know what I'm talking about? Man, you hire somebody in the first month, you're like, man, he's a ball of fire. Month two, you're like, what happened to him? He was rabbit mode, now he's turtle mode. This ain't something that you can bribe somebody into. It's not external, it's internal. Can I preach for a minute? I've tried to bribe and coax people into loving Jesus more. Oh, come on, you got to love him more. Do you know what he did for you? Do you know he died for you? Do you know that nobody else could do it? Come on, love him more, love him more. You know what I figured out? Man, if I can get them full of the Spirit, I understand something now. I understand why the old church spent more time praying than they did preaching. You know, when I get up here to preach, some preachers get up and this is what they say. They say, now, the most important part of the service, me. I got to thinking about this one. What does God get out of me preaching? Do you think God's up there like, get it, boy. I didn't see that coming. Woo! What does God, man, it's a great sermon, Damon. You put that together. I'm so glad I got to hear it. He's not seeking preachers. He calls preachers. You know, God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. You know why we have preaching? Because we'd be lost without it. We would. But God isn't lost. God's not up there like, man, I can't wait till Sunday to hear what Damon's got. That's not how this works. But let me tell you what he is seeking. He has on the robe of a seeker, and he's seeking somebody that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not seeking Sunday school teachers. He's not seeking teachers. He's not seeking, hey, let me tell you what he's seeking. He's seeking somebody that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Key being spirit, because you can't worship in truth unless you got the spirit. Are you hearing me? If I can get you full of the same spirit that Jesus had, there's no scar, there's no devil, there's no wound, there's no pain, there's no storm, there's no sorrow that can stop you from worshiping him. Come on, Aaron. It hurts sometimes. But the church has got an attitude now. You know, my pastor used to tell me all the time, Damon, God can only work for humble people. God can only work through humility. Well, we fix that. We teach things like, well, the Bible says turn the other cheek. Well, don't say anything after you do it once. First time's on you. Second time, bless the Lord, I'm coming at you. We fix that. You know why we fix that? Because we don't trust God. Oh, preach, preacher. You know why we don't trust him? Because we've been hurt. And we wanted God to fix it. And we went around quoting scriptures, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know that scripture that if you be nice to people that are mean to you, it's like heaping hot coals on their head? Y'all use that as a weapon. Somebody's a jerk to you and you're nice back. Smoke them, Lord. Smoke them. Burn their whole face off. Do you think God honors that? If kindness is your motivation to bring people pain, is it really kindness? Where's some scriptures in there? Because when we get hurt, you know what we want to do? We want to hurt back. You ever said this? Do me wrong once, shame on you. Come on, anybody know the rest of it? Come on, y'all laughing because you're like, yeah, do me twice, shame on me. It ain't going to happen. Because we get hurt. But Jesus got hurt. He got hurt, but it didn't stop him. As a matter of fact, those that were hurting him, I'll tell you what he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those ain't my shoes squeaking. Somebody's walking it out. Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. He wants to trade out some scars. If you're in this service today and you've been hurt, you may be hurting right now. I was thinking this, Dave. I said, you know what? I'm going to let old wounds stop me from serving Jesus. No scars. And I took it a little step further. I said, you know what? I'm not even going to let scabs hurt me. I'm not going to scab. And you know what? I said, you know what? If it's a fresh cut from yesterday, I'm still not going to let it stop me. Maybe I should title this sermon, Scars, Scabs, and Scrapes. None of them are going to stop me. You got some scars? You been hurt? Emotionally, spiritually? If you need prayer, we want to pray for you today. If you want to come to this altar, we have a high priest that has been touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He's not a God that don't know. He's a God that knows exactly where you're at. And he wants to touch you with his scarred hands. I wish you could see what I see, church. I wish you could see what I see. Conviction already moving. Somebody's hurting and they could be delivered here today. You can pray right where you're at. I understand that. And there's something about just standing up and going to an altar and saying, devil, you're not holding me anymore. I'm going to take the first step right now, right now. Anybody else? God, today, right now. The way we do this is we play music and we give you a moment, but let's not wait on that. If you want him to touch you, he can touch you right here, right now. That's right. It's up to you. Listen, everybody in here is rooting for you. I know what it is to be hurt. But God, I want to keep moving forward. God, I've done some of these things to myself. But I want to keep moving forward. I want you to touch me, Lord, like you've never touched me before. Because I know, Lord, you took the scars so that I could be made whole. If you're able to stand, would you stand as we sing? If you feel the call to move forward as you stand up, just don't stop in standing position. Start walking forward. Would you come to the altar and pray? Would you talk to him on this Sunday morning?